Good morning, everybody. This is such a powerful day, isn't it? Where our King, our Redeemer, rose from the dead. Amen. The message for this morning would be the message of the resurrection. And this is central to our belief. This is central to our faith. And it is actually something that is so factual. We are the evidences of this resurrection, each and every one of us in Christ Jesus. I would like to invite each and every one of us at this section to join billions of our brothers and sisters all around the world in saying this word. I would be saying, He is risen, and He is risen indeed. Could you join me in that one? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Come on now, let the angels hear it. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Ladies, please. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Men, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Everybody, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. He is not in the grave. Just like what we have prayed for this morning, like other leaders, but He is risen indeed. Our key verse this morning would be found in 1 Peter 3:18. And it says there, For Christ died for our sins once and for all. The righteous for the unrighteous to bring us to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. So that's such a powerful verse that captures all this journey that we have this Holy Week. Christ died for our sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, meaning to say there is only one qualified. He is the only one qualified to die for our sins. He's the righteous one, and all of us are unrighteous. To bring us to God, He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. I would like to focus later on also on that, made alive by the Spirit, because that is central to our participation in the resurrection. Now, I would like to have a picture over here of the grave. Whether we like it or not, sooner or later, this is our body's final destiny. And a lot of people actually don't want to go to the graveyard. When we talk about the graveyard in the Philippines, you know, there's a certain section over there that is the graveyard. And when it's we in the evening and we have to pass through the graveyard, we need to run. Because we don't like the graveyard. But this is where we are all headed. And no one is exempt. And I would like to talk to about death this morning, since we cannot avoid it, and it is a fact of life. Death creates man's greatest fear. We are bombarded by friends dying, relatives dying, families dying. And we know that this is also a reality for each and every one of us. And it creates fear in our hearts. Number two, death is the common denominator for all mankind. Common denominator meaning to say that even though you are a child, a baby, an old person, a young man, it is a common denominator for all mankind. I remember when I was called in the ER, there was this 4-year-old that was brought that was dead. And the story was they bought a new house, and this family had been very excited about unpacking their things. And the older brother and the younger brother, their three children, the 12-year-old, the 7, and the 5-year-old. And the 5-year-old found himself in the backyard. The mom and the dad are very busy unpacking the the boxes and trying to set things in order, not knowing that this five-year-old was able to slip out of the house and fell on the swimming pool. And the mom was crying, baby, come back, baby, come back. But, of course, we know that's the final for that baby. Death is a common denominator for us all. It is also the equalizer for all men. Death is the equalizer for all men. I mean to say, if you're a billionaire, you're not exempt. If you're the poorest of poor, you're not exempt. Everything will be equalized at that point of death. So we have Hitler, and we have Mussolini, we have Saddam Hussein, those people that are way up there, and evil has been equalized when they were silenced by death. Man cannot stop, delay, or postpone death. We try to. We exercise as much as we can. We drink energy drink or our vitamins and all that. We try to shoo ourselves away from the reality of death, hoping to delay it, postpone it. But we cannot do so. Death is the only appointment man can keep. Okay, we have a dental appointment, and we feel like our tooth is aching, and the following day, because of Advil or whatever you take, and we feel like, I think I could wing this and it would go away, and we could postpone our appointment, dental appointment, but our appointment with death we should keep, and we will keep. Now, the first time that death has been heard was recorded in the book of Genesis, Genesis 2, 16 and 17. And it says here, "And the Lord God commanded man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." This is the first record of death and dying. And the implication of this is so deep that when you look at the composition of man, we are body, soul, and spirit. We are, that's our composition. All our composition has been affected by death. The body, the soul, and the spirit. Adam lived to be 930 years old, and when they ate the fruit, the power of death already has been eating up his body, his soul, and his spirit. And so goes for all and each and every one of us. I would like to go also to Genesis 2:7, that death affected us in such a way that is so outstanding. But we would like to see also more of our composition over here in Genesis 2:7. "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." It's so easy to explain that our bodies are dying. Actually, when there was a time I was combing my hair and I could see a lot of hair in the sink, I'm saying my body is going back to the ground. And we could also be saying, you know, my hair is turning white and what have you. And so we are all in the journey of the body going back to decay. But one thing that's very interesting inside of us is our spirit. That our spirit also have died. In the Old Testament, you could see that when the Spirit of the Lord would be coming to a prophet or a man of God or a woman of God, the Spirit would inspire that prophet or prophetess or that man or woman of God, and then the Spirit leaves. And why is that? Because man already has been tainted by sin. And so there is no dwelling for the holy in the house of man, in the dust of man. And so in Genesis 2:7 again, when God breathed the breath of life, man became a living being. This was the original design. This was the original original state of man. But it has been messed up, of course, by sin. And because of that, death has been ushered in to our lives or to all humanity. Now, there is an important truth over here that we need to grab. Man does not have a spirit. We don't have a spirit. Man is a spirit housed in the dust. We are spirits housed in the dust, the humus. And so some people are capitalizing on the humus or the clay, but actually inside the clay is the most important thing, the spirit. Because from dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. We know exactly where the dust is going back to, but the spirit lives forever. So we are all spirits housed in a tent of dust. That's what we are. Now, the incarnation is God's final solution for man's greatest problem of death. An incarnation has to have happen in order that our problem of death would be solved. In Genesis 3:15, we could read, "And I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." He over there speaks about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. So the incarnation has been promised by God even from the beginning of the fall. In Isaiah 7:14 it says here, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son, which is the Son of Man, and will call him Emmanuel." Now, Emmanuel, we know, is God with us. God with us. That's powerful. That's incarnation right there. There's another translation. It says, "In man is God." That's the other translation. In man is God. Or God with us. It's just the same. But it's such a powerful reality in our problem of death. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace," right? Well, a child is born. But the next part is very interesting. "To us, a son is given." A son could not be born. The son could not be born. The son is given, but the child is born. The child is born through Mary, and through Mary he became dust. But the son has no beginning. Actually, he said, the son said, "Before Abraham, I am." Because he is not born. He is from everlasting to everlasting. The son had a body through Mary, and the Son of God was given. And he used the body. That's why the son that is given will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, because he was not born. He is God. Emmanuel God with us or God in man. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only begotten Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He came, brothers and sisters. He came. In Matthew 26:63 and 64, it says there, but Jesus remained silent. They were accusing Him. The high priest said to Him, I charge you under the oath of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. You have said so, Jesus replied, but I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. So you could see there the Son of God and the Son of Man in Christ. Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. Hebrews 2, 14-15, since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity so that by His death He might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. So when He came in sharing our flesh and blood in our humanity in order to conquer the greatest problem that we have, which is death. And He is the only one qualified to do that. 1 Corinthians 15, 44-45. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. For there is a natural body and there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam a life-giving spirit. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. God has deposited Himself inside of us, that in His sight and in reality, we are already new in Him. Romans 8:10-11. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Having believed, we have been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the day of our redemption. And when death was staring at Christ, the giver of life, death just backed off because death had nothing on Him. This is powerful. This is so powerful. And I wish after this message that the Lord has given us, whenever we'll be passing through a cemetery, we could even say, na 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 na. I know where I'm headed because of the Spirit of God that dwells within me. Amen? Thank God for Jesus. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives within you. Mortal would be meaning flesh. If you put immortal, if you put the im in front of the mortal, deathless flesh. That's why when Christ was resurrected from the dead, His disciples came forward and Thomas, the one that says, unless I see Him, I would not believe. He was touching Him, you know, and he was so excited, my Lord and my God. And brothers and sisters, that's the same place, that's the same path that we are all heading because of the Spirit of God that has been deposited inside of us. Tatay Cicero is not dead. Engineer Ben Somera is not dead. We will see them in beauty one of these days with immortality wrapped up on them. And the story that we missed in this part of God's creation will continue on because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. To God be the glory, great things He has done for us. Amen? There's this term, and we used this term before, sudsuupoeo. And sudsuupoeo means made alive together with Christ. If you have faith in Him, you were made alive together with Him. His life becomes your life. That's why Jesus boldly said in John 15 verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That part, apart from me, you can do nothing. And the relationship of the vine and the sap and the branch is the sap of the sap and the sap of the vine becomes the sap of the branch. All the goodness of the Lord, His love, His patience, His life, His eternal life becomes part of us because He is our vine. Sudsuupoeo. John 11:23-27. Jesus said to Martha, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. No one who believes in me will live even though he die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never, say never, church, never die. So there's no sting in death anymore because he is the resurrection and the life. Praise God. But the question would be, do you believe this? And a lot in our society, in Christian, even in Christendom, they don't really believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And true evidence that we are truly believing is that the sting of death is being lifted up out of our soul, out of our spirit, in the name of Jesus. You see, a life without the resurrection of Jesus, the Christ, is terrible. Because Jesus, the Christ, is the only way. John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. No man. Because no man has been born with a virgin, and no man has come like what Jesus came as the Son of God to deposit himself in mankind. So life without the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a terrible life. Number one, the gospel would be meaningless without Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Number two, without the resurrection, forgiveness of sins would be hopeless. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sin. Without the resurrection, the present life would be joyless. You know, can you imagine living in this world, floating like a ball, bouncing left and right with no purpose? You know, you don't know where you will end. But if you know Christ, you know exactly where you're headed. There is joy in living. There is purpose in living. 1 Corinthians 15:18-19, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But we know the resurrection took place. Amen. Number four, without the resurrection, godly living would be fruitless. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and this shall he do, because I go to the Father. greater works. You know, this is something that I would like to share when I was kind of preparing this. I was humbled by this event in the hospital. There was this man, about 78 years old, and this man said, well, he was talking to the nurse manager because he was so scared of death. So scared of death. And so he called the chaplain, and I was humbled and fortunate to be in that place to talk to him about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he was like a sponge getting all this information, brothers and sisters. And it was just one of those moments that I was saying, Lord, this is great. And he was just saying, keep coming, keep telling this thing. And you know what? After that session that the Lord has given me with this man, he said, Chaplain, as we have finished praying, and after he has finished accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he said to me, Chaplain, I kid you not. Even if I die this very moment, I am ready to go. Fear has been lifted out of my spirit. And I was just like, of course, the flesh part of me was saying, really? And the spirit part of me was rejoicing and saying, yes, Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through you. There was fruits of joy at that time. Greater works indeed. Number 5. Without the resurrection, future life would be worthless. Ain't that something? Without the resurrection, what for? You know, in other religions, you know, for them to have hope for the resurrection and the afterlife and for paradise, they have to kill innocent blood. They have to kill children. They have to kill elderly people. They have to massacre crowds, bang in airplanes on buildings just to assure for their future. What a waste of belief. And remember, Jesus is saying in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, so that where I am, there you may be also. I like that part. That where I am, there you may be also. And this is something that I've been repeating in some of the folks in the hospital. I'll be saying, you know, what Jesus said, that where I am, there you may be also. That should stir an excitement in you and saying, come on, yes, where Jesus is, there I would be also. The graveyard is not the stop for a believer in the Lord. It is just a beginning. Beginning of eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. The message of the resurrection says, if there is no resurrection, there is no gospel. If there is no gospel, there is no forgiveness of sins. If there is no forgiveness of sins, there is no present joy. If there is no present joy, there is no future hope. Everything hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen. Of all people in the planet, we are supposed to be those that are excited to pull those people. You know what? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Come on! Get inside the ark of God's salvation and be saved for all eternity. That immortality may embrace you. We carry a message no other like in this world. And we are ambassadors of this kingdom. God has rescued us out of the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Ex agorazo. Agora is in the marketplace of sin, and we are X away from the marketplace of sin, and we have been brought into the kingdom of the Son He loves. Amen. Because He lives, It's such a powerful song. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the light of glory and I know He lives. One of these days, yes, we will meet death. But beyond that, we will meet Him who conquered death and resurrected in our behalf that we may participate in His divine nature. To God be the glory. This is an exciting message, my brother and sisters, for each and every one of us. Don't let Satan steal it away from your spirit. You are resurrected with Christ and be seated in Him in the heavenlies. We have dominion over our greatest enemy because our Lord, Jesus Christ, conquered death for us. Amen. So the saying in Texas is true. You ain't seen nothing yet, brothers and sisters. The best is yet to come for those who trust the good Lord. And we will be like 1 John 3:2, and we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. When you wake up in the morning, and your back hurts, your knee hurts, your neck hurts, just tell that ache that one of these days I'll be resurrected. I'll be an immortal with the Lord Jesus Christ and I'll leave you behind. Don't cry over lost hairs. When you see Him one of these days, I tell you, you'll get all the hairs you want. Because we shall be like Him and see Him as He is. This is just the airport. This is not final. We're all going home one of these days. And we will be with Him forever and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank You so much, O Lord, for what You have done for us. We thank You, O Lord God, even for the prophecy that indeed when the offspring comes, He will crush the head of Satan. And He did through the resurrection. This event is central to our faith, central to what we believe. For without, O Lord God, the resurrection, our faith is nothing. We thank You, O Lord, that You who started a good work in us shall accomplish it until the day of Your coming. Lord, man will not accomplish it. Systems will not accomplish it. You will accomplish it, Lord. And we are excited, O Lord God, to be clothed, O Lord God, in our heavenly dwelling. But until then, O Lord God, strengthen our faith, O Lord God. Let the boldness of the Spirit arise in us, the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, O Lord God. Let the Holy Ghost arise in each and every one of us. Help us, O Lord God, to testify the good news of the gospel. That You, O Lord God, are the way, the truth, and the life. And that one day where You are, there we shall be also. We bless You today, God, and we love You. We can't thank You enough for what You have done for us. My brothers and sisters, in this pulpit this morning, if you have not settled your issues with the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, the Messiah, the resurrection and the life, I invite you to come forward and just express your heart to Him. express your allegiance to Him. And if you are a brother and sister in Christ that you are bouncing left and right, you don't have that rooted devotion and love relationship with Jesus, and you would like to say, Jesus, I want to be rooted more, Lord, with you in love and devotion. This pulpit is open for you to stand and make that dedication. What a better time. What a better hour than the resurrection day to do all these things. So brothers and sisters, if you feel like coming to the altar, for whatever reason even, I invite you, even for the reason of thanksgiving, I invite you, my brother and sister, come forward. You're not standing before man. You're standing before God. You're standing before Christ, the Son of God. So if you feel free to come, I invite you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we will pray for you. We will pray for you. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.